Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything that we talk about is aimed at helping you to lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in anxious times. I am your co-host, Bridget Tyer, and as always, I'm joined today by my fellow co-host, collaborator, and good friend, Ervin Nugent. And Ervin, how are you?
Bridget, I am doing really well as we record this. Dare I say, spring is in the air. You know, woo-hoo! Spring is in the air. Yeah. And the weather is, you know, a little bit good. So I'm doing well. I am excited about today's topic because I think, whoa, it is such a persistent topic in any leadership conversation. So why didn't you introduce the topic for today's session?
All right. So yes, today is a juicy topic, I think, because we're going to talk about how to give and receive tough feedback. Mm. And of course, you know, Ervin, you and I have touched on the whole topic of feedback in other podcast episodes. But what we're doing today is really honing in on that critical feedback that, you know, it's tough because maybe it'll make us flinch a bit. It'll make us uncomfortable. We don't really want to give it. And quite frankly, we don't want to receive it. Mm. So how do we do that in a way that's truly beneficial? And I think it's tough because feedback, particularly tough feedback, sits at this intersection of two fundamental human drives. One is the drive or the need to feel valued and accepted just as we are for who we are. And then the other one is a drive to learn and grow. And so we're conflicted about feedback, particularly about tough feedback. And I think on the one hand, we say, oh yeah, give it to me. I want it, you know? But I think on the other hand, we have an aversion to it that we come by honestly because the brain kind of looks at feedback as a threat. So it's an interesting and nuanced conversation about how to get it right and how to be able to share tough feedback in a way that moves past people's natural defense mechanisms. So that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to share some really good examples of that. So Ervin, I want to start by asking you a question. Can you think of some tough feedback that you got in your career, in your life, and you reacted defensively?
Yeah, I can remember feedback I got earlier on in my career. I was CEO of an organization I just joined. I had made a rookie mistake of making a lot of changes up front very quickly because I perceived that's what the board wanted and that's what I should do. So I went to the board meeting and I think I was expecting them to say, this is great. We love the firm action. You're taking control of this. You're making decisions that weren't made before. Keep up the good work. And instead, I got this feedback of, we're not sure you've realized, but you're really upsetting the organization. We think you're moving too quickly and too much resistance. And it stung. It really, I think part of it stung because, first of all, it was surprising. I convinced myself that I was doing it. And then secondly, then I went into kind of, you know, the wounded, you know, well, in my own mind was, well, I'm only following what you wanted me to do type of thing, you know, justifying it. It became personalized so easy. It was, you know, in many ways, they were critiquing certain decisions I had made. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, what it felt like was, what I was hearing is, you're such a terrible CEO. You're not making the right decision. And it became so personalized. And I can remember I was so triggered that I found it very difficult to either listen to and to respond, to have a conversation. So yeah. I think I just kind of shut down and kind of took it and then kind of, you know, huffed out and licked my wounds. So yeah, that for me was such a visceral, you know, and for me, it was a lesson that so often how we personalize something as a direct attack on me and not even a critique of something I've done.
Yeah. And even as you tell the story, I can hear, you know, how personal it was, right? Yeah, like you really remember this feedback.
Yes.
And I think that's the tricky thing is that sometimes the feedback that we receive feels like it's an attack on us as human yes. beings, as yeah. opposed to, look, here's something you might not realize. So of course, you know, getting defensive is the most natural thing in the world. We come by it honestly, you know, according mm-hmm. to David Rock of the Neuro Leadership Institute, we only respond positively and openly to constructive feedback about one out of every 13 times we get it. So yeah. we got a lot of practice here yeah. to do, right? And I think sometimes that defensiveness can be a byproduct of feedback being delivered poorly, right? Let's face it, not everybody's great at giving it. But I also think it's just because the human brain tends to see feedback as a threat instinctively. So when someone says to you, hey, can I give you some feedback? That amygdala at the base of our brain is going, mm-mm, you know, it detects a potential threat. That fight or flight response, I think, can get easily triggered in these conversations. And you said, Irvin, that you kind of shut down,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
Rose,
and that's just a common thing that we do in the face of a perceived threat. Yeah. So how do we get past our natural instinctive inclination to feel threatened by tough feedback and to get defensive or dismissive? And so, Irvin, what are some tips you can give to our listeners who I'm sure are shaking their heads and totally relating to what we're saying?
I think the first one is a clue in what you were talking about, is that first of all, this is a natural process of the brain. Nothing surprising here. This is not, so it's not a judgment on what we're doing. This is natural. So I think the first tip is, can we train our brain to focus or refocus attention on what's happening? And so instead of seeing this feedback as a personal attack, rather that this is a gift and an opportunity. Now, that's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think when we have a mindset of receiving this as an opportunity, so this actually can help us fulfill our potential. It can, because so often we have blind spots. We don't see things clearly. And in this feedback is an opportunity for us to grow. You know, time after time, we both of us have been coaching for many years. We have many stories of people who were given initially tough feedback that was hard to accept, and yet it was a breakthrough moment. Mm-hmm. Through the uncomfortableness of sitting with this, it proved to be a turning point, a new insight in leadership, a new insight in how they're showing up. And in fact, one of our past episodes, Bursting the Leadership Bubble, it talked about that. It talked about mm-hmm. how to respond well to constructive feedback. And actually to seek it out, because so often what we seek is the rah-rah applause. And very often what can be really good is feedback that's not that feedback really that helps us to grow. So the first one, training the brain, you know, almost like, you know, this is not negative. This actually mm-hmm. is an opportunity.
Yeah. And Irvin, you know what that reminds me of?
Mm.
That reminds me of the kind of therapy when people have real fears, you know, yes. they have an aversion yeah. to something. What is that therapy called where they keep exposing you to it?
Aversion therapy.
Oh, aversion therapy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so by asking for critical feedback,
yeah.
right, we're essentially doing aversion therapy for ourselves yeah. and building up maybe some new neural networks.
Yeah. 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 And then the second one is, again, understanding that it's natural to be defensive. So we can expect nothing is going to take that away. It's part of our built-in system. So in the moment, do we have a self-regulation practice that in that defensiveness and when we feel it rising up, is there something that we can do that can give us just a little bit of distance to give us an opportunity to respond differently? And we've gone, oh my God, we've done so many different practices in former episodes, but you know, breathing, realizing the tension. I think I may have mentioned one practice which I have found very helpful, especially when we are receiving feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Almost imagine the words falling into, say, if you're in a table before us.
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost trying to be a little detached from the words and just being curious. What are these words? What's being said?
Yeah.
And kind of explore that a little bit more. Kind of be curious about it. So whatever technique it is there something in the moment that can give us that little bit of a distance so that we can begin to view this feedback with curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is there a kernel of truth? And what I mean by that is that even if initially we are resistant, and even if initially it's like, no, that's so, this is just not true, this is not on par, etc. But is there something? Is there even something within the totality of the feedback that I can say, well, maybe there's something here? And I think it's just that little nick in the armor that can really help us. Okay. And then we begin to kind of explore that. Well, maybe it's not the whole thing that is, but there's really something they're onto that really I should pay attention to. Sometimes, you know, you mentioned this, people are not good at giving feedback.
Right.
And so sometimes people are not very artful in how it is delivered. And so what we can do is, well, like, who are you to give me this feedback? Or what do you mean by that? Instead of really, like, what are they really trying to say? And is there something that really might give me insight?
Mm. I really like that, you know, because it's so easy to just react to the poor delivery.
Yeah.
You know, and just say, man, you suck at this. I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. So yeah, that last one resonates with me. Is there a kernel of truth? I'm also really glad that you reminded our listeners and me of that wonderful practice in a feedback conversation of imagining the words falling on a table in between the two of you.
Yeah.
Just right away, I could feel my nervous system calm down, imagining some tough feedback and just seeing that those sentences kind of fall lightly into the table and then observing them with curiosity and from a distance.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Great. So I'm curious then, do you have an example of a leader that embodies those three things in the face of tough feedback?
I do, but I have to tell you that what first comes to me is actually a memory of getting some tough feedback. What for me was tough, where I actually didn't do a good job embodying the very things that you just cited, at least not in the beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe let me share this quick story as what not to do.
Okay.
And then we can contrast it with what to do.
Okay.
And like you, you know, I'm going to pull on a memory that was from a long time ago, but it's still quite salient. So it was the end of a coach certification course that I was doing. You know, this might sound familiar to you, Irvin, because at the end of this particular week, we gathered in a semicircle with the two course facilitators, you know, at the front, and they had told us that they were going to go around and give each one of us some targeted feedback based on observations they had been making throughout the week. Yeah, we knew it was happening, and it was a little, you know, maybe a little bit. I might have been slightly nervous, but not really, because like you walking into that boardroom, I thought, man, you know what? I've been standing out here in the crowd. I think they're going to have a hard time. They're going to give me positive feedback. Okay. So then when it was my turn, I was surprised when the facilitator said the following, something to the effect of, you know, Bridget, you're a really good coach, and I think you have the potential to be a great one. And I know you want to work with and are working with some high-level leaders and executives. And so there's something I've observed that I think could really get in your way. And I was like, oh, what is this? And he says, you have a very nice smile, but you smile too much in such a way that it lessens your gravitas.
Mm.
And then he paused and I smiled. And he said, and so what I mean by that is that you smile even when it might not be the time to smile. And he goes, so I would just be curious about that, because working with high level leaders, more than anything, you have to establish credibility quickly and through the quality of your presence. Okay. So can I just tell you that I was, one, surprised, two, thought it was dumb feedback. Initially, I was like, what? Who's? I don't smile too much, you know? And like you, I dismissed the feedback and shut down a little bit, but then we had to process it right afterwards. So I'm asking people, what did you think of that? And they're like, I don't know. I think you have a nice smile. And I go, yeah, I don't know. And then, you know, I asked some friends and family members and they're like, that's ridiculous. You know, don't listen to that. And it wasn't until a coach, a very insightful one, later, maybe the next day, said to me, ask me, you know, Bridget, I can tell you were really surprised by that feedback. And I don't necessarily see what he was sharing, but I wonder, I'm curious. You know yourself really well. Do you think there's any kernel of truth or relevance in what he said? And that was the question that got me unstuck from dismissing the feedback and leaning into it as a potential gift.
Yeah.
And guess what? It was a great gift. Yeah. And it was a turning point for me in understanding and better seeing my presence and how that could shift to be even more potent, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the story that came to my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I love that story because I think as well, what it highlights is sometimes the feedback is on aspects of our behavior that's not always visible to us.
Yes.
So, you know, it's, you know, to be told you made a wrong decision about something's one thing, but to be told like you smile too much, or like sometimes, oh, your face, you know, it looks angry all the time. All of that, that can be really tough to receive because it's not obvious to us. And then it's like, do I? Is that like, mm-hmm. So it does, it kind of takes a little bit of a breath and say, oof, what is that? So I can relate to that a lot. And I think that kind of feedback is really a gift, especially if we're in aspects that are not initially visible to us.
Yes.
And very often people don't go there. So I think it's a great example.
Yeah. You know, I'm watching a new series on, I think it's Max, HBO Max, called The Pit. Have you heard
about it. I haven't watched it, but I heard about it. Yeah.
And so to our listeners, I find it to be a fascinating and very good series, but the feedback conversations are really terrific to watch because they're in the emergency room. This is an emergency room. Yeah. And they have to give feedback. Lives are at stake. But man, they got to do it quick. They got to do it in the moment. And they better be pretty decent at it or else they might not treat their patients, you know, effectively. So I just throw that out to listeners. It's a good show for that.
I love it. So now we've talked about receiving tough feedback, but maybe we should turn now to give a few suggestions on how to give tough feedback. We talked about sometimes it's not very artful, but any tidbits, Bridget, about giving tough feedback?
Yeah. So I'm going to just share three because I think that, you know, there's been a lot said and a lot written about how to give tough feedback. But if I had to bottom line it, I would say this, ask yourself these three questions before you give this tough feedback. And the first one may be the most important one, which is, how can I express genuine care for this individual in this conversation?
Mm.
And have I expressed it previously?
Yeah.
Because we listen to people who care about us and who have our backs. And we don't listen as well to people who we perceive, yeah, they don't really care about us as human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
That to me is such an essential ingredient. And so you ask yourself, how can I express that care genuinely and early in the conversation? So maybe you open up with something like, you know, if this is genuine, you know, I want you to know that I see tremendous potential in you. I really believe in you and I'm 100% committed to your success.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to share this feedback with you. It's in the spirit of making sure you achieve the things you really want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's number one. I think number two is how can I say this in a very direct and straightforward way? You know what we do, right, Irvin? We water it down.
Totally.
Yeah. At least you and I do. I know.
Yeah. Run. Yep.
You know? And when we water it down, we think that we're doing the other person a favor, and the opposite is true. So you just have to just say it in as most plain of a way as you can where it's not going to be misunderstood. Kind of like, would my third grader understand this? Might be a good litmus test. And I think the last question that's as important as the first two, which is, how can I connect this feedback to something that's really important to this person. Like, what are their aspirations? Mm. What are they seeking? What are they driving towards? Who are they? You know, what are their values? Mm. And connect it there, because then they'll feel seen and they'll also themselves be able to connect the dots between that feedback and, you know, what matters most to them.
Yeah.
So those are the three.
Yeah.
So Irvin, let's give the folks a different example now.
Mm-hmm.
As we've shared too, that of what not to do. How about an example of a leader who was really good at giving tough feedback and did kind of touch on these things that we've already mentioned?
One thing comes to mind, especially with those points, which I think this example will elucidate. The example is of Sheryl Sandberg, who started out with Facebook and now then with Google. But this example comes from the Google, but it's actually in a book called Radical Candor. It's a great book written by Kim Scott. And she writes there that a story that she refers to the story. I think it's a really great example of how to give tough feedback and be caring and be straightforward. The context of this, it was a meeting with the C-suite, so the upper leadership at Google. Kim Scott, at this stage, was an up-and-coming manager at Google, and her boss was Sheryl Sandberg. Sheryl had invited her to give a presentation to the C-suite, and she wanted her to highlight some of the wins that the team were racking up because it was having a very positive influence in the wider Google culture. And needless to say, of course, you know, you get an opportunity to present to the C-suite. So Kim was very excited about this opportunity. She was very enthusiastic in her presentation about the impact that the team was having in Google. And in one, you know, she said at one stage, I kind of felt that the CEO was just eating out of her hand. He was really eating up everything she was saying, particularly impressed by the results. And, you know, this can be, C-suite presentations can be cut very short with questions, but the CEO was very engaged. And so, therefore, not surprisingly, she left the meeting feeling like this has been a huge success. And so the feedback conversation started afterwards because Sheryl was waiting at the door for her as she left the conference room. She was expecting maybe a high five. Maybe that was amazing. Did you see the CEO? He was eating out of your hand. And instead, Sheryl asked Kim if she could walk back to the office with her. And kind of Kim began to say, oh, something's going on here. And there was a sinking feeling in her stomach. And she wondered, you know, what might she have missed? Did something go wrong? And, you know, as they were walking, you know, the first thing that Sheryl says, you know, you're going to have an amazing career at Google, which, of course, made Kim be very good about herself. But, you know, it's kind of, where's the axe here? Something's going to drop. And she, you know, continued with some very specific praise about how Kim had handled tough questions and the CEO had seemed to enjoy her presentation. And even under intense moments when she was challenged, you know, that positive feedback kind of filled her. But she knew something was not right. And so she said to Sheryl, I said, but something didn't go right. Sheryl, you know, smiled and reminded her that it really was a success and she'd hit the ball out off the park. But she said, I want to give you an observation. You said a lot. Are you aware of that? And Kim replied, yes, you know, I know I do that too much. But, you know, she said, is that the thing that didn't go well? I said a lot. The CEO was so impressed. And she says, well, like, you know, who really cares if I a lot as long as, you know, there's success at the end of the day. And, you know, Sheryl asked, you know, is it because you're nervous? And she said, look, I would love to recommend a speech coach for you and Google will pay for it. And, you know, Kim kind of got a little defensive then. She played it down and she said, well, I wasn't really, you know, nervous. It's just a small verbal tick. It's not a biggie, you know, and really try to brush off kind of this feedback, you know, really it seems inconsequential to what just happened. And, you know, Sheryl tried once again. It may be something small, but you shouldn't brush it aside. And I think this back and forth went on. And then Sheryl said, okay, I got to be plain. I got to be direct. And says, when you do that thing, you know, and she kind of brushed it off kind of at this stage, there's an interaction. And then Kim had this kind of tendency just to wave her hand. And then that really got Cheryl. And she said, you know, when you do that thing with waving your hand, you know, it feels like you're ignoring what I'm telling you. And I feel I have to be really, really direct. You know, you are one of the smartest people I know, but when you say a lot, it makes you sound stupid.
Oof.
Ouch. You know, yeah, that really got the attention. And then Cheryl repeated again, look, I'm more than willing to pay for a speech coach from Google for you. And of course, Kim agreed to make it happen. And needless to say, it was a memorable conversation. And Kim then writes, this was a turning point in so many ways on her career.
Mm.
One of the things that stand out for me is to have a boss that cares that much.
Yes.
That even something that on the surface may seem small, but really isn't. And to have someone that notices, I think is such a gift.
I couldn't agree more. And she knows because she's at the C-suite level herself.
Yeah.
And she could see that if Kim didn't really address that, she wasn't going to go as far as her potential could take her. I think it's a great story because this is what I think happens a lot. When I listen to my clients, they say, I've given the feedback. I've said it. I don't know what else to do. But you know what they haven't done? Yeah. They haven't persisted with a bottom line statement like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just clear, unambiguous, boom.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it'd be one final story that might bring out both, you know, the giver and the receiver of tough feedback and how they got it right.
Yeah, this is one final story, and I'll make this one shorter, but it is a good example of both sides doing their part, you know, to make the feedback conversation go well. So it comes from a client of mine, and it was interesting because I asked him, what's some of the toughest feedback you've ever given or received? And he goes, well, I'm going to give you an example that came from early in my career when I was younger, newer, and I didn't know a lot, but this incident changed the way I manage and the way I manage up, and I think contributed to my success. So here's what happened. So he was part of the sales team, and apparently the sales team was filled with lots of really good salespeople, and they had this daily sales meeting, but there was one employee who came late almost every morning to this meeting. Now, mind you, he was actually a very talented salesperson. Like, he was knocking the numbers out of the park. But what on earth? He was like late to this meeting. So my client's boss said, we are not going to start this sales meeting until everybody's here. And I expect everybody to be on time. So they would all sit around and wait for this guy to come in. And then his boss, my client's boss, got so frustrated that he started berating the guy in front of the team. And needless to say, this cast a pall over the tenor and tone of the meeting, right? And my client is sitting there and his other colleagues, and they're just like, oh. So this went on for a while. And this is what impressed me. My client is relatively young, relatively new to this organization, but he respected this boss of his. And he felt that he actually was doing a good job, except for this. So he gathered his courage and he asked his boss one day after one of the meetings, hey, would you be open to me sharing an idea, like a little feedback and an idea on our sales meetings? And the boss said, sure. And they sat down and chatted about it. And what impressed me was not only that my client asked for that permission and then shared what was going on, but the boss listened. He was quiet. He was open. He was thankful. In fact, he said, I'm really glad that you took the time to share this with me because other people in there wouldn't. And I appreciate it. And like, I get it. This is not the way to handle this situation. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm going to think about it, but I'm going to figure something else out. And so the good news is he figured something else out and he stopped doing that. And they actually changed the time of the meeting to later in the day. Because as it turns out, there was something going on there in that employee's personal life. Anyways, that's not really the point. The point is that for my client, he gave that feedback well and thoughtfully, And his boss responded so well that he said to me, it was that conversation that has given me the courage and the resolve to have those conversations from that point forward in my career. He says, I lean into them now because while they don't always turn out that well, I know there's the possibility that they will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love that example because I think that example really gets to the heart of both the feedback giver and the feedback taker, you know? And I think all in display there, you know, kind of the, your client who gave the feedback or the feedback giver, you know, was, there was care. Why, you know, it's tough giving feedback to your boss. So he cared about this. He was very direct, straightforward, to the point. And it was obvious from the feedback that was given that there was something really substantial to care about. And then the, your, you know, the boss was able to, in that moment, instead of becoming incredibly defensive, must have really self-regulated well to be able to say, there's something going on here. This is an opportunity. And they got the kernel of truth. So, I mean, you know, all of that's really embodied in that example. And I think that's something we aspire to. So awesome. Well, I am sure many of our listeners are either faced in the coming number of weeks with either receiving feedback or having to give feedback to something. And so hopefully today something is chewing, you know, give you something to chew on and maybe an inspiration as well to think about how well you give feedback, how well you receive feedback, and what's missing? What do I need to work on? Is there one area that could improve me either as a feedback giver or a feedback taker?
Excellent. And I'm going to do a little aversion therapy myself. And I decided, having been inspired by this conversation, that I'm going to ask a few family members, friends, and some colleagues one question, which is, what's something I don't know about myself or probably see as clearly as I could that would really help me be an even better version of myself?
Love that question.
So I'll come back and tell you next time what I hear, and I'm going to work on self-regulating when I hear it.
I love it. I love it. Such a curious and inviting question. Love it. Well, thank you so much for such a rich conversation today, Bridget. I really enjoyed it. And hopefully our listeners have a few ideas to put into action. Join us for our next episode when we will be exploring empathy. It's all around. Everyone's talking about empathy. Yeah. And maybe we have a different take on empathy. So until the next time, take care.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.